Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين الحمد لله الذي خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم وبعث نبيين مباشرين ومنذرين وأنزل معهم الكتاب بالحق ليشهد الناس إلى سبيل الهدى ويخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك له الحمد يحيي ويميت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ويا أيها المسلمون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته والجمعة مبارك أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم صدق الله العظيم الله ماري سأسفق نجيب This is the first of the last of the revelation to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is, the last revelation is the Quran. The first of the last revelation are these five verses. And they are an expression of them, because you can't translate the Quran, but an expression of them is proclaim or read in the name of your Lord, guardian evolver, who created man out of blood adhering. Proclaim or read, your Lord is most bountiful. He who taught the use of the pen and taught man what he was before, not knowing. And we say, Sadaqallah al-Azim, Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. I'd like to read a couple of reports, expressions of reports from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of them is, he who treads the path in search of knowledge, Allah will make that path easy, leading to paradise for him. And those persons who assemble in one of the houses of Allah, that is the masjid, recite the book of Allah and learn and teach the Quran among themselves, There will descend upon them tranquility. Mercy will cover them. The angels will surround them, and Allah will mention them in the presence of those near him. He who is slowed down, slow in doing good deeds, his long descent will not make him go ahead. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another report from Kathir bin Qais radiallahu anhu, he said, I was sitting with Abu Darda radiallahu anhu in the masjid at Damascus. A man came to him and said, Abu Darda, I have come to you from the town of the Apostle of Allah for a tradition that I have heard you relate from the Apostle of Allah. I have come for no other purpose. He said, I heard Allah's Apostle, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, if anyone travels on a road in search of knowledge, Allah will cause him to travel one of the roads to paradise. The angels will lower their wings in their great pleasure towards them who seek knowledge. The inhabitants of heaven and the earth and the fish in the deep waters will ask for forgiveness for the learned man. The superiority of the learned man over the devout is like that of the moon on the night when it is full, over the rest of the stars. The learned are the heirs of the prophets, and the prophets leave no dinar or dirham, leaving only knowledge, and he who takes it takes an abundant portion. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We're continuing with the topic, education is a sacred matter. Education is a sacred matter. And this is actually the fifth part. So hopefully you can catch us on Facebook, YouTube, and the other channels, Blog Talk Radio, if you want to get the other parts. But we have to continue as we have begun. One of the things that we pointed out last week is to have an appreciation for the significance of literacy, the significance of literacy. Because if you're not in the business of paying attention to that kind of thing, you may not have an appreciation for how illiterate in the quote-unquote, in the best or the worst sense, depending on which angle you approach it from, that this world is. We are in a world that is highly illiterate, definitely illiterate from the most sacred perspective, that is, as it relates to the word of Allah, truly illiterate with regard to that. I'm not just talking about academic, or that's not our most important subject, the academic illiteracy or the inability to literally read books and newspapers and things like that. We're speaking at the highest level. It's like knowing what Allah's word, what Allah's revelation is saying, what Allah's revelation is talking. The world is really more fully disconnected from that. And what they pointed out is that it's a myth. UNESCO, I'm mentioning something from UNESCO. What they pointed out is that it's a myth. Think that reading is simply a matter of sitting down in front of pages and being instructed as to how to make the sounds from the letters, et cetera, and so now you're literate. They said, no, it's much more complicated than that, and it's a much more, demanding requirement and demands a much higher skill than the world thinks about it. But we said that last week. With Allah's mentioning, not just mentioning, with Allah revealing to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq," that being the first words that he revealed to the last prophet in the last revelation to humanity forever. You know, we always hear about famous last words. You know, you can look up. You can go Google or whatever, the famous last words, and I'm sure there's a website for famous last words. Maybe there's a website for famous first words, too. But I would say no matter what that page cites, if they don't cite Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, those are not the most important first words. Those, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, are the most important words that were excited to humanity for all times, never needing revision, never needing to be edited, never needing to be updated. Allah revealed it to Muhammad, and that was, let me put it like this, all she wrote. Alhamdulillah. The rest is history. Alhamdulillah. So I would get away from my editorial, rhetorical stance right now, and let's get to more of the content. What is some of the power that's in it? Allah knows the power that's in it, but some of the power in it is this. Allah, when he said Iqra, it was a command. It was an order. And I think enough of you are old enough, maybe you may have seen that movie, Karate Kid. Karate Kid. So for those of you who don't know, just a little background. Boy being bullied in school, and he lived in an apartment and moved to a new city. And the gardener was a Japanese guy, an unassuming kind of just guy that passed you by when in the yard. Then the boy comes to find out that this guy, Mr. Miyagi, knows martial arts, karate, self-defense. And so because the boy wanted to learn how to protect himself from the bullies, he went to Mr. Miyagi to have him teach him martial arts, judo, jiu-jitsu, karate, whatever. So Mr. Miyagi said, oh, you want to learn how to do karate, huh? Okay, well, go wax my car. So he went to wax my car. Okay? And he said, and when you wax it like this. Put the wax on like this. And when you take it off, then wipe it this way, right? And then he said, okay, I'm finished. And he maybe had two or three cars. he's doing wax on, wax off, right? And then he comes back and says, okay, I've done all the cars. Now, come on, when are you going to teach me? He said, here, paint my fence. Oh, you're just making a slave out of me. I didn't come here to paint your fence. He said, paint my fence. So he goes to paint the fence. And when you paint the fence, this way, that way, this way, don't do it this way. Do it this way, that way, this way. Okay, so he paints the whole fence. Then he comes back to Mr. Miyagi and says, look, I'm sick of this. I quit. I'm gone. You're tricking me. You're using me, et cetera. And so Mr. Miyagi says, show me wax on, wax off. And so when he does wax on, Mr. Miyagi throws a punch, and the boy is shown that what I told you about wax on is a defensive methodology. Show me paint the fence. Then he does this, he does that. Mr. Miyagi shows, all the time you've been learning. You don't think you're learning martial arts, karate, et cetera, but you have been learning martial arts and karate. Even those innocuous, seemingly irrelevant things were the very things that will teach you what you actually came to me for. Now, this whole, quote unquote, let's call it series of things is to drill in the point that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to us in the Quran, I'm talking about the whole Quran this moment, the whole of the Quran, what he has revealed to us is all that is necessary, meaning that it is complete in its capacity to realize among human beings the civilization that Allah wants to have on this earth. I don't know if I can repeat that exactly the way I said it, but the point is this. Allah said in the Quran, Inni ja'ilu fil ardi khalifa. I am making in the earth a khalifa. So that's the object of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make on the earth a khalifa. Some people have the mistaken notion that it's talking about some explicit individual body geographically located only in one place and they will be the khalifa. No. Allah made all of us khalifa. Allah made all of us leaders. And Allah is holding all of us responsible to make the life on earth be for humanity what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it to be. Khalifa is the name for what has been said as divinely inspired republic. All right? Those of you who may not know, when the Bible says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, it's really saying the same thing. And an order of rule and law that's under the will of Allah, that's what Khalifa is, and that's what thy kingdom come, thy will be done actually means. When Allah says, inni ja'ilu fil ardi Khalifa, he said, that's my master project. And then he tells the Muslims who inherited that responsibility after the Jews failed, those who call themselves Jews, and after those who call themselves Christians failed, and then Allah sent the last revelation to Muhammad, and the work now fell on the shoulders and falls on the shoulders of Muslims wherever they are in the world. But Allah distinguished the last prophet and the last revelation in that now the others, they were allowed, they were left with the freedom. Oh, you want to change my words? Allah didn't like strike them down, you know, no. Right? And then those after them, they forgot much of what was revealed. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, I'm going to reveal it. I'm going to protect it. I'm going to explain it. I'm going to promulgate it. Because this is the last time. And nobody will have any excuse. Oh, we didn't know this wasn't your word. This, yeah, I thought it was your word. No. This is bona fide. This is my word. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered, Iqra, read, listen. Allah said, this is my book. This is my revelation. This is my word. This is my message. This is not Muhammad's message. This is not the word of any man. This is not even the word of an angel. This is my word. And I am revealing this word as the blueprint for the realization, for the realization of my plan for man, Khalifatul Ard. Your job is, as I order, Allah. وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٍ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. You be an ummah that is advancing towards all that is excellent under all circumstances. That's your master mission, Muslim. The way you're going to carry that out is, number one, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. Read in the name of your guardian evolver who created. So how does that relate to Karate Kid? It relates to Karate Kid this way. If you just read, if we just read what Allah has really read it, not bark sounds out. Read it, understand it, apply it in space, time, and place in the manner as it should be. Allah is saying, I'm guaranteeing that the result that I embedded in the revelation is going to be manifest in the world. Do we have proof of that? Okay, all we have to do is look at the life of Muslims in the time of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Madinatul Munawwara, when that city was established and when that model was established and when Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his final address, he said, have I delivered the message? He said, yeah. He said, and Allah is a witness. So the prophet said, I'm signing off. I gave you the book perfectly. I modeled it for you perfectly. I showed you how it's to be constructed perfectly. And I showed you how to practice the religion perfectly. I'm out. So y'all now. And we have to talk about a whole lot of history. Okay, and then, and what did the Muslims after that point in time do. But we did come through this glorious period, right? The golden age of al-Islam that we harken back to, and there's wonderful centuries and centuries and centuries of success there. But why were they successful? They were successful because they understood and they applied the Quran in the way that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had prescribed it for them, and as long as they practice it as to prescribe. You say whatever you want to say about what's going on in the world. How did Muslims get in the condition that they are in if it wasn't for the failure of Muslims living out, meaning failure to live out what Allah had revealed and what Muhammad had modeled? There were bigger enemies by comparison to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam than the enemies east, west, north, or south in the world for Muslims today. The Muslims fighting the Byzantines and the Muslims fighting the Romans and the Muslims fighting the Persians, there was a much bigger force against Muslims. Right now we got 1.5 billion Muslims in the world. Are we manifesting the kind of power that those numbers should actually reflect? How did it happen? Allah is playing. Listen, when we say subhanallah, Allah is beyond indictment. Allah is beyond indictment. Allah didn't shortchange us. Allah did, well, we needed more. I mean, there's Facebook now, so how are we? Look. Allah gave us everything, as he said in the Quran. I've given you everything necessary for the fulfillment of your life. We're not cut short at all. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when we say subhanallah, Allah is beyond indictment. There's no evidence. There's nothing you can bring up that says that it's God's fault. It is not God's fault. Allah's messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, let him who finds good praise Allah. Let him who finds other than that blame no one but himself. And Allah, that's hadith. Allah says in the Quran, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَكُوا مُغَيْرَ النِّيَمَانْتَ أَنْعَامَهَا عَلَىٰ قَوْمًا حَتَّى يُغَيْرُوا مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah says he will never change the grace that he bestows upon a people until they change it themselves, what is in their own soul. Most time we only think about it going up from down, but we fail to recognize it also includes going down from up. As long as we obey what Allah has ordered, our circumstances will be good. As soon as we stop obeying what Allah has ordered, our circumstances will change. And Allah says, let him who finds good praise Allah. Let him who finds other than that blame no one but himself. So this whole blame game, that's from the shaitan. Muslims have to recognize their own shortcomings. And a part of it is the neglect of the Quran. We have, unfortunately, a much more symbolic, ritual, superficial relationship with the Quran. I'm speaking in the main. It's not everybody. But if we were more in touch with, in heart, mind, spirit, practice, then those powers and forces that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised that would be at our back, that would be at our aid, that would be at our side, that would be in our support, that would energize us, we would have that. Because we're not powerless. But we only deprive ourselves of Allah's power when we don't. So we have to read, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to us, read in the name of your guardian evolver, Allah was giving us the behavior that will put us on top. That work of Khalifatul Ard, that work of building civilization, that work would be just as sure as the illustration I gave, wax on, wax off. All you have to do, just do what Allah says. When you do what Allah says, the natural dynamic of what Allah has ordered is going to happen. Allah has promised it. So what is that? Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Khalaqa al-insana min alaq. Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram. Read, and your Lord is most generous. So Allah is saying, you read, it's going to enrich you. You read, it's going to enrich you. You know, there's a saying out there that says reading is fundamental. Reading is fundamental. we have been taught in such a way, I say, these English words, don't just take these English words at face value. These English words, most often they're hiding something. Some people call English a bastard language, and that's, you know, you're kind of missing the point. You should understand English much more as a manufactured, a constructed language that's designed to reveal to those who get one education and conceal it from the others who don't get that education. Same, the word's right there in your face. But if you haven't been taught what it's holding in your face and hiding, then you miss it. Okay, what does that mean? Reading is fundamental. You want to fund the mental? You want to fund the mental? Reading is what funds the mental. You want to enrich your mind? Reading is fundamental. That's the other thing, Bill Alley and African Americans, you know, people laugh about the way we speak and what we do, but let me tell you something that you may not know, that these very people I'm speaking of know. African Americans, Bilalians, some say black, we reject that. That's one of those creepy words that have been brought into this world's vocabulary for the purpose of hiding and revealing. The same thing. But in any case, so our language, if you study esoteric and exoteric, just those two words. Esoteric means it's language that's used in a small circle of people. Exoteric meaning that it's very broad, public people get it, right? Esoteric languages are languages that exist among people who, early people, when people of early generations, early tribes, primitive, quote-unquote primitive tribes, their language is said to be esoteric. It's said to be esoteric because only a few people actually speak that language. And so it's called esoteric. But see, right there, even with this word esoteric, most times when, quote-unquote, modern urban people hear the word esoteric, they just think secret. Or it's like it's at a higher level. But where does it start? Where does it start? It starts with the common human ability to use language in a small circle, right? What happens with such people, these people are actually closer to nature. People who haven't been exposed to education in the institutional sense, in the secular sense, their language is much more natural. Much more natural. And their life is much more closer to nature. And what does that mean? That means there are expressions that come from them, you call it slang. You call it slang. Slang is esoteric language. And you will find, I know I'm going a little far for some of you, but you will find, try to take a look and see how many television commercials draw on black language, draw on idioms that you find, quote-unquote, in the hood. Such people being closer to nature, we have that as an immediate American example, but it's the case all over the world. So the point is that language, the language of those people who are not in the superculture, it also serves the people of the superculture, just like like a donkey carrying books. Like a donkey carrying books. So we carry that. So we say fundamental. Those who construct the language, they say, you know, it's like, okay, all you got to do is just change that duh, as it would come from this here and that there for blacks, and then unfold that, and you will get the real knowledge that's being hidden. The knowledge that's being hidden there is in order to feed your mind, you have to read. You have to read. So So, brother and sister, in terms of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, when he said, Iqra, I have to give you a history lesson. Do you understand the khutbah? Khutbah actually means prescription as well. It's not just to preach. It's for education. Okay? Education is sacred. So here, ask yourself to yourself, obviously not aloud, it's like, how long do you think literacy has been around in the world? Only about 5,000 years. If you have any idea of time, you will know that that is no time. 5,000 years, no time. And that's starting the Egyptians and the hieroglyphics. The numbers range around 5,000 years ago, 1900 BC. Literacy. And that in the form of hieroglyphics. And then you have the Sumerians with cuneiform, little marks on clay tablets. Let me tell you something. When Allah says he created man from clay, are you thinking about the Georgia clay? Are you thinking about clay on earth? How is that? If they were created in the high place where Allah and the angels and Iblis before he descended to become Shaitan, and when Allah said, get ye down from here on earth, wait a minute, wait, Adam's already existed, get down from here on earth, made him from clay, what kind of clay? Is it a clay that you know? How is that possible? Allah knows, yeah, you're absolutely right. But he also wants us to know. Let me give you an opinion, and Allah knows best. It's not an unlearned opinion, but Allah knows best. Listen, when they do archaeology, when they find implements that are made by tribes and former civilizations, etc., do they not find things, and then they date those things, and then they say that this is a people that lived so-and-so, and they had this level of knowledge, and they had this kind of technology, quote-unquote, as that goes. Most of the stuff they find in different ages, but most of the later stuff is clay. Clay. Cuneiform. Writing on clay. Why is that important? Because there was a certain kind of numeracy, a certain kind of literacy that period of time actually represented, and as an evolution of man, as human beings, that's early literacy. That's not the alphabetic literacy of A, B, C, D, E, F, G, et cetera, that we have right now. The early literacy, only 5,000 years ago or so, hieroglyphics and cuneiform type thing. Why is that important? Because everybody in the world was not literate. The people who knew how to read the hieroglyphics and write the hieroglyphics and read the cuneiform and write the cuneiform, they were the leaders, and it was the pharaohs and other leaders who employed scribes and those who were literate, who had that knowledge, and you would have to spend a lifetime learning how to do hieroglyphics and read hieroglyphics and do the cuneiform, et cetera, et cetera. And so who held all the knowledge? The ones who held the knowledge were the people who were in charge of the people who were literate. And then the masses of people were dominated by the people who were literate and who controlled those who were literate.
I know. I feel you.
Tell me this. When was the last time you saw someone sitting in silence reading a serious book. Not pulp fiction, not comic books, but they were sitting in silence reading something serious. We are in an illiterate world, by and large. And those who are literate want to keep the masses illiterate or detour that literacy, deter it into foolishness, useless, worthless information that just occupies their time, if not simply deceive them into thinking they are learning something that's important and relevant, when in fact those who sell it to them know that you can spend hours and hours on this and it leads nowhere and it doesn't benefit you in the real sense at all, but it keeps you out of the competition because you won't get any competitive ideas. All your ideas are ideas that we gave you, that we want to occupy your time, occupy your mind, have you spend your money, and you're never dealing with anything of significance that would make you competition for us. Allahu Akbar. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his believers, I'm trying to finish, but also the level of illiteracy. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, it is said, Allah revealed, he's from the ummi, the unlettered. Most of the Meccans were literate. Muhammad was not among them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to spend some time studying the poetry of the Meccans before Muhammad and how important the language was, etc. It was like if the language was the glory, poetry. But most of their poetry was about wine, women, and song, or whatever, you know, wine, women, and war, really. That's the WWW. That was the first one, right? And so they had all this eloquence, but they were pouring it into a useless cup. So Allah revealed a weighty word to an illiterate that blew their words out of the water. And it was a word that was available to everybody. Oh, that's bad news for somebody who wants to dominate people with a literacy that they don't let others have. So it's a threat to the order itself. You see why they wouldn't let slaves learn how to read on the plantation? It was a death sentence. If you taught a slave, talking American now, if you taught a slave how to read, death sentence. Why? Because everybody knows. You get new ideas, you get a new mind, you get new power. And those who want to dominate people want illiteracy among them, not literacy. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسْنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسْنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Ameen, Allah, Ameen. Allahu Akbar. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
I mentioned regarding English as a constructed language much farther than we can go today, but some of us have been raised on that understanding or understanding that. But I want to give you an example, right? I talked about hieroglyphics, right? I talked about cuneiform. I talked about the fact that, those were professions. They were called scribes. That was a profession. And you would have to spend a lifetime learning how to do that, and you'd be employed with the rest of your life after learning it, using it in the interest of the people who provided the training, gave you the information, and put you to work. In religion, quote unquote, I'm using it with, I understand that Islam is not a religion, Islam is being got all that. But for the sake of our understanding, let's just set and move on. It is in that class of people that the greatest domination, denominations, that word was coming into my head, and oh no, you're not saying denomination, you're saying domination. But then I said, well, no, wait a minute, because that word is telling you something too. It's revealing and hiding. Somebody said, what denomination do you belong to? And when you have different fiat currencies, how do they label the different classes of currencies? Denomination. So there's a relationship between money and religion. Oh, no. Okay. Profit. Which one did I say? Did I say P-R-O-F-I-T or did I say P-R-O-P-H-E-T? Which one did I say? It depends on who's listening. Ah, there should be no interest, no interest. Interest is the English word. Riba is the Quranic Arabic word. And if you don't make the distinction between the Arabic word, which was revealed by Allah, and how it's understood by people in the 7th century Arabia, you don't have the right understanding of it. I think I need to say that again. When Allah revealed to Muhammad what he revealed in the Quran, the audience was 7th century Arabs and all the circumstances that existed at that time. Listen, I can say to a Bilalian, black, African-American, I said, hey, man, I'm about to cut. Somebody who doesn't know the language, what is he about to cut? Because they got one understanding of what cut means. But because of the people, the audience, the idiom, the time, the grammar, the vernacular, ain't nobody moving. Ain't nobody from the hood. Nobody from the hood moving. You about to cut? All right, man, check you later. I know about checks in a checkbook. He said, check you later. What does it mean? He's going to search him? Check you later. Language, right? Denomination. So you got profit, interest, even credit. What's credit? Credit is faith. You got bad credit, bad faith. Don't you miss a lot if you fail to recognize that Allah sent a businessman as the last prophet. If you're going to make profit in this world, Muhammad is the last prophet that you're going to make. Because there's going to be more profit in following Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam than any other way of life. لِيَذْهِرُهُ عَلَدِينَ قُلِّ لَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ Allah is going to make it the most prominent way of life, even though the unbelievers hate it. Here's the thing for you as we conclude. I'm trying to point out to you that the religious world is the world that is in charge of the domination of the world. The religious world. the highest among the quote-unquote Bani Israel, the Jews, and the highest among the Nasara, the Christians, they're the ones that are running things. Man, any secular leader that you can see, anybody you see, they ain't in charge. Did you hear that? If they've been in the paper, if they're in the headline, they're not in charge. The people in charge don't want to be seen, and that's how it's always been. Look on the back of your dollar bill with that pyramid and that eye over the dollar bill, the overseers, the supervisors. They're the ones who are in charge of it, but what's the name that I'm trying to get to? It is the religious people, the English word that are given to them, that's given to them is what? Clerics. Clerics. You'll hear them use language like Muslim clerics, Christian clerics, Jewish clerics. So clerics are a priest class. Why not listen to this? When they do things, then you would have to say that those are clerical things. Clerical. Where else do you hear that language? Clerical. He said it was a clerical era. No, I didn't mean to say that. That was a clerical era. Well, okay, cleric. Clerical. Well, who has to fix it? And who possibly made it? But who has to fix it? The secretary. You don't see secret in that word? So who keeps the secrets? The clerical class. It's the priest class among Muslims, among Christians, among Jews, and others that want to keep an illiterate mass of people that they ride on. And if you and I only depend on somebody else who looks like they know or ought to know as the ones that we give credit to for what is knowledge, what is not knowledge, then you may very well be feeding into the priest class domination of people who want to continue to ride you till you die, and then they jump off you and jump on your children. Iqra, bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Read, not in the name of Sheikh so-and-so or Imam so-and-so, read in the name of your guardian evolver. And Allah says in the Quran that He is revealing to you new knowledge. وَتَقُوا اللَّهِ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ SubhanAllah. وَتَقُوا اللَّهِ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. Allah is the one who knows and is always teaching you. Be regardful of Allah because He's always teaching you. So we have to remain conscious of Allah, of Allah's plan, of how we can be deluded, how we can be deceived, how we can fail to serve Allah in the manner that He's prescribed. And if we do that, we suffer the result. And as the report said, it is but your deeds that I reckon up and recompense you for. So let him who finds good praise Allah. Let him who finds other than that blame no one but himself. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahmatan innaka antal wahhab. الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم في العالمين انك حميد مجيد والحمد لله رب العالمين واقم الصلاه الله اكبر Uh-oh. I'm bad. Muhammad Rasulullah. Subhanallah, I lost one of my earbuds, one of my AirBuds, so I had to use this Pinocchio wire today, and so that's cause of all this. My hair, okay, I think we still have a mic. Excuse me. Oh, forgive me, Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm al-Din. Iyaka an-na'budu wa Iyaka an-nasta'in. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم جهر ما يخفى ونيسرك ليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشكى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبكى إن هذا لهي صحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمدا الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين قل يا أيها الكافرون لا أعبد ما تعبدون ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد لكم دينكم ولي الدين الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمدا الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله الفاتحة بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين
الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين الحمد لله تقبل الله brothers and sisters, those of you who are going to make sunnahs, mashallah, alhamdulillah, go ahead. And those of you who are leaving, and do so, just don't start conversation on the floor. We want to make a couple of community announcements. A little warm today. Alhamdulillah, birthday greetings to Nazim Pasha, alhamdulillah. So the Hifaz board game tournament scheduled for October 30th, 2020. There are a limited number of board games available for at the Zakat table, only $20 each. MashaAllah, Al Mu'ezzin is not here today to give you a signed copy, if that is, but you can still get it and then come back, bring it with you, and sign it for you then, inshallah. We're keeping our dua, Amina Shahid's brother and sister-in-law in San Diego. And also on Al-Islam, on Islam and American Democracy, a publication from Imam Waridi Muhammad, edited by Ronald B. Shahid, is available. And we just mentioned about the game. Those are some pretty... on September 7th, one of our young people who were honored, the young man who do the sword fighting, Jibril, he's in a special television broadcast, fourth season, episode one. I believe the name of it is like Tournament of Champions or something like that. But alhamdulillah, the first episode of the fourth season is going to be aired on the 7th. And inshallah, right here in the backyard, we get it worked out with better screens and everything. We'll air that back there. That is a Tuesday, so inshallah, we need to make some adjustments. It's going to be like 7:30 or so. Then I recommend that you do so, because it is history for us. And we're seeing these young men who plan to make it to the Olympics of 24 and 28, inshallah, we want to demonstrate our continued support for them as they go. Amina, I'm not forgetting anything else? Okay. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. What you say? Well, he wants my here?